outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Chain. The God Chain. The God Chain.
Two guys with no plan. I love that.
Who, you and me?
Yeah.
We got no plan.
No.
We're trying to do a threefer. That's our plan.
Okay, but that's all we know. I think that's good. Knowing less helps you discover more. There's wisdom in that. There is.
Okay.
You're not tracking with me yet.
No, I think you're talking kingdom talk.
Okay.
And I think in human terms, people are going,
what the heck does that mean?
We're going to get a car and we're just going to head off for the wild blue yonder.
Yes.
Hope to get somewhere we're going to get to. Yeah. In human sense, it makes no sense.
I know, but I'm so tired of human sense because it's nonsense.
There's a lot of nonsense in human sense. No argument with me there.
No, I do think that one of the biggest difficulties is our relinquishing our lust for control, but I don't know why we want to control what we know we don't have. If I really want life and I want the adventure of a living God, I'm sorry, you can't control that.
True.
There's not a light switch for that. You can't make that happen. There's no.
Hold it. I've got a shelf full of books.
I know that.
Stop it now.
They don't work.
Wow.
Really don't.
You undercut most of Christian publishing. Right?
I know. I'm part of it. But I look at the whole thing and I just go like, okay, the endless pursuit of knowing things is not the same thing as going on an adventure with him. I really have to almost set that stuff aside. It's like the more I bring with me, the heavier the journey and the less available I am to being led. I'm trying to lead him down my path that I don't really know where it's going anyways. So why am I doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, I just
that's where a lot of people get stuck, I think, right there. They don't realize, we had a discussion the other night about prayer. And why is it that most of our prayers don't seem to get answered? And I think you just kind of said where our conversation went to. Most of our prayers are trying to get God to follow our plans.
Yeah.
We think we know best. We already got in mind what God would do if I were God, right?
Right.
And so we're praying about that. And
we're cajoling him to agree with us.
And that prayer doesn't come out of necessarily horribly selfish place. It comes out of our best understanding of who God is and what would motivate this God. And if I'm praying for this healing or that need or that suffering to end, obviously this is exactly the way God would do it. So I'm praying with intensity and fervor that God will do it. God doesn't do it. And so then when that happens multiple times, people kind of, this is where we started the conversation last night. People were kind of like, man, I just don't pray that much anymore because it just never does any good. It's never. And if in fact, and this is what I think is true, I think what you just said, we're trying to get God on our plan. We look at life and our view of God and think we know exactly what he should be doing. When the fact is we don't, have a clue. And that prayer is not less about trying to get God to do what we think is the answer as it is for us to commune with him enough so that we would understand what he's doing in the situation that may be bigger than what we see, different than what we see. And if God's just like us, why would he be a God after all? The whole assumption that God's going to think about this exactly the way I do would kind of suggest that maybe I've got godhood status in my own brain. That I would know the best way for him to go about this.
That's delusional.
It would be. But getting God to follow your plans kind of has that unspoken behind it.
Yeah, it's so weird. I find myself praying more than I ever have. But differently. I'm not asking him to bless my plan. I'm conversationally trying to discover his.
Yeah, I'm not even assuming my plan anymore has any merit to him. So I'm saying, God, what's your deal? What are you planning? What's your purpose? How are you unfolding?
Yeah. And when I know that, my prayers and actions are different. I tend to act with more authority with a sense of clarity that has been derived from him that I finally know I have. Right. As opposed to the, hey, God, I've got this really great idea I hope I can convince you is worthy of your resources of heaven being released unto my hopes.
Yeah, and I don't know if you ever did that, right?
No, I think in my well-intentionedness, yeah, I kind of...
So I think what it was, I think what I was trying to describe is more of, if I understand love at all, love would do this. So if God's not doing that, then that's where people get into that whole, he doesn't love me, he doesn't care, he's not really who he says he is. Because that's where it seems to come from.
Yeah, and that's where it's like we've authored our own frustration because God's not doing our deal.
Right.
And we thought we had his deal defined.
Because God's not like us. And shouldn't that be the best news in the world? That God's not like us?
For almost 2 years, that was something that God kept saying to me. And at first, I was really discouraged. When it's like, Brad, I'm not like you. And it's like, I heard that as just rejection, like you foul, dirty, rotten, you're not doing it
right. Wow, you read a lot into that.
No, I did. I did because I sort of felt like, oh, God, I'm trying. And no, duh, I'm not like you. Like I need you to say that. But it took me a long while to clue in what he was trying to say. I really had boxed myself into the limits of my comprehension of his goodness. And he was trying to say, Brad, that doesn't even come close to who I am. And it wasn't this hyperbole language. It was more like, you think you understand this and you're doing a nice, sincere, well-intentioned effort. But I'm not looking for that. I would like to inhabit this. I'll show you what I'm like. But you're so busy doing the thing you're doing. And I had to finally sort of let go and just say, well, God, if my goodness extrapolated to the nth degree doesn't even come close to who you are, as nice as that is, I haven't the foggiest clue what to do. Unless you reveal yourself to me, that's just words, and they don't mean anything to me because I have no frame of reference. That was a point of breakthrough.
But in the frustration of trying to get God to act the way we think a loving God should act, wouldn't that be the best news in the world, that I'm not like you?
Yes.
I mean, that becomes just the whole, okay. And one, when you step back and say, wow, I don't need a God if he's like me. If I'm already God-like, then I really don't need a God.
True.
But if I have a God who knows everything, is way beyond his ability to scope out all that's going on in the earth today and to formulate a plan that's not just about my life and some, but all of our lives together collectively and the end of the age and how God's going to tie all that together. If we have that kind of God, why wouldn't we want to? Okay, I want to go on that adventure. And when we talk about plans, no plans, I know it makes people nervous. It's kind of like, well, you can't, you know, somebody wrote me after last time we had a discussion somewhat like this and saying, so you're saying there's no principles in the Bible that aren't valuable for us to believe in. And I'm going, no, I'm not saying that. Brad and I are both Bible guys. We read the Bible. I begin to know who God is through the scriptures. I begin to see a God who's so much bigger than me and thinks in different ways than I do. And I see that in the scriptures. But what it leaves me free from is saying, I can figure out in the scriptures all he is. Or I can figure out in my events of my life. That just take my life today and the people I'll cross paths with. Just take that. Don't take stuff going on down the street and my neighbors, stuff going on with people all over the world. They're going to write me an email today or whatever. Just forget. Just the things that are immediate to my life today. I couldn't hold a perspective of all the variables of all of that in my heart to know what to do today.
No, and honestly, that can lead you down such a stupid path because
it won't feel stupid,
no,
though.
No, I know, but
it'll feel really good.
I look at the principles of God, and guess what? They're not a replacement for intimacy and actual relationship. The sad thing about all the principles, and I'm great at pulling them out. I'm great at seeing them, and I love seeing them. I love learning them.
We're not saying they're bad.
No.
At all.
No, but that's not the same thing as God navigating and leading me through them, because if I make my priority of those, I can go down a road of my own choosing and convince myself religiously that it's him when that isn't his priority in me right now. And it takes humility to sort of go like, oh, I should perhaps take my principles and bring them to you and say, of all of these, which are the ones that are important right now that you're at work in that I should give my attention to? Because that's where I'm going to have the grace to change in.
Yeah, because this has happened before. The whole idea of being able to take truths about God and chart them out, and then when I'm in a circumstance, choose which one of those principles I want to apply to this situation to get my own day. I mean, get my own way. The Pharisees were active about that.
They were awesome at that.
And go back to Isaiah's day where he talks about, you know, your doctrines are but rules written by men. So it's not that they aren't true. You've pulled truths out of who God is in Scripture and what, and then you reformat those truths in ways that serve you and your needs and your desires. And you do it not even considering that the very, because he says your doctrines are simply principles taught by men. You get to do what you want to do. So the law says honor your father and your mother, but you say, no, I'm going to declare this dedicated to God. So then I can use it. Mom and dad don't get it. And there's no end to the ways we can take religious or even Christian principles and skew them to our personal advantage.
Yeah.
There's no end to that. We can do it on into morning, and do it with the conviction that this is what God has shown us. That's what's
right.
So scary.
That is where I have my vehement reaction to, that is not life. I've done that. I have twisted that. I have twisted others in a pretzel of that. Oh, all believing I was doing the right thing, all having been taught, isn't this the job? Only to find out, why does it not produce the fruit that we think?
Yeah. I just had a flashback, man. I had a flashback to a manual that I wrote for leading house church groups. And all the ways that we, you know, there's proof texting scriptures all the way through the whole thing. Just drew it out. And then we go, well, why does this work? Why are we not doing all these things God showed us to do? And then our host groups, they're not working and they're failing and people are struggling in them and people don't even like each other and they're gossiping and why is that true? And, oh my gosh, how many times have we done that? So when you and I sit here and we talk about this, it's not like, oh, we've never done this because
no,
we've just followed God from the very beginning.
I spent my professional life doing that.
Yes.
And just realizing.
And it's the constant temptation that sits right over here every day.
It's so much easier.
With the book thing I'm talking about right now, you know, my mind goes toward, okay, this would at least be okay. I can control this to some extent.
Right.
This, oh my gosh, I'm just like walking to the edge of a cliff and going, okay, God, if you're in it, I'm with you. But yeah, that, so it's, when we talk about it, it's not, you know, we feel so morally superior that we just follow the unfolding grace of God every day. We warn ourselves about the planning thing because that still appeals to something in all of our flesh.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think that the difficulty is it's, When God has given you clarity on something he wants to do, then I think it can unlock the value of plans and administration. But you got to first know that he has said that. And that's different than, I thought this up and God, would you bless it?
Yeah.
I mean,
but if I thought it up while I was praying, then I'm thinking God gave it to me.
No, I know, but
yeah,
I don't know about you. There is a difference.
No, I agree.
And I have a healthy distrust of me in a way that I'm just going like, God, it seems good to me. I need some help and clarity that it's you leading this. And I've found that God has been incredibly faithful to make that way known. In the humility and honesty of my saying, hey, I know me. I know my tendency. I know I can work the levers. I don't want that, God. I really do want, I want what you are interested in. I think the primary difference is when I'm like focused on me, that's where I have red flags and warning lights. When I'm focused on others, I don't tend to move the levers so much.
Hmm.
And that's an indicator of just going like, Lord, motive. What am I doing? Am I fearing and trying to provide for me? Or am I serving the purpose that is beyond just what it does for me?
Yeah. And I think part of that for me is a lot of those plans come out of that. I have the result that I want. So I need to get a plan to get me to the result that I want. And the willingness to follow him is always, God may not have the same result in mind that I do. You know?
Oh, totally.
Because I can extrapolate to, which is where I get distrusting in my life. If I come out of a prayer time, whatever, with a, you know, a 3-month plan, now I kind of go, yeah, you know what? The odds of that working are about zero. I think when I come out of some time with God and God gives me insight, that insight is usually the next step.
Yeah.
And that next step, I don't see what's beyond that. It's not like, oh, I could do that and then that and that and that. When I start doing that and that and that and that and that, then I've usually made up those steps because I think God much more wants his will to unfold in our lives out of our relationship with him.
Yeah.
Rather than, look, I'll give you a strategic plan so you won't have to talk to me for 5 more years because I'll give you the plan. You just need to follow it. Just work it. Make it happen.
I think there's a built-in dependence upon him. And I've come to absolutely enjoy and love that as opposed to, oh, I'll take it from here. Because every time I'll take it from here, I don't end up where I hope to have ended up.
No, never.
And I just end up going like, Lord, I don't trust me in the good sense. I am learning and I'm more able because I think you've been winning me to this. I trust you that if I take this next step, you'll speak on a need to know basis. And when I need to know, you're an effective communicator. Whether I'm some great hearer or not, I'm purposing in my heart to obey. I'm purposing to say yes. So my heart is available. I am checking my motive at the door saying, I'm not trying to do this for me. I really do want to say yes to your purpose, which I know is beyond me. I know you care about me, so I'm not worried about that as much. When I used to be worried about that, I really couldn't care very much about others. But once I've kind of been won to the place that you take good care of me, I am now freed to be able to care about others more genuinely.
Yeah.
And I find that increases my hearing capacity greatly.
Yeah. Love is all. Love and concern for others is always going to put us in a better place, right?
I believe so.
God's about. Yeah. When we're really hunkered down on us and me and what I need to do for myself, and then I think that we hear the worst. What I love about this conversation, and I'm sure it's going to drive some people nuts, what we're talking about. Because on the one hand, we're talking about, man, there's a beautiful value to seeing God's nature reflected in the scriptures and to get a sense of who God is.
Absolutely.
And there are things about God that we can put down in principled form. God leans into love and away from conflict and war and terror.
I can learn what he is like by seeing that.
You can't, but to say what's not enough. There's got to be also the Holy Spirit who makes sense of those things and the reality of the very circumstance I'm in. What am I grabbing hold to here about God? Is it just the thing I want and I think I need, or is the Holy Spirit telling me where to lay down my life and where to maybe defend myself or not defend myself? And it's got to drive people nuts who are saying, oh my gosh, just give me the rules for peace. Like, just tell me what it is I'm supposed to do. I'll do it. I promise I'll do anything.
The Old Testament folks said that to Moses. They said, we don't want to talk to him direct. That's scary. You do that.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Moses. You go up, you talk to him, you find out what he wants. You then tell us what he wants and we'll do it. Biggest lie on the earth.
We'll do it all the time. We'll do everything you say. We'll never cause a problem.
And you just go like, there is no substitute for your own face-to-face development of friendship. There is no other Christian life than that.
Yep.
There's a religious life, and I don't find that very satisfying. I don't find it very fruitful. I find it incredibly frustrating. But it is what a lot of people downshift to Because they think it's more comfortable, or I don't know why they do, because I end up going like, I am just utterly frustrated with the religiousness of trying to work the principles when I know that they're not as anywhere close to effectiveness and satisfying as actual hearing and obeying and intimacy. And they're not the same thing.
No, they're not the same thing. But again, they're not mutually exclusive. I know people who, in the tenderness of a ritualized Sunday morning chanted prayers, you know, it's all scripted out, but find a real connection with Jesus in that. Uh-huh. I know people who do. So it's, I love the nuance of this. It's not, well, it's got to be this or that. It's either or. It's not. It's there's a real relationship with God available to every one of us. And we get to, along with him, discover how that works in my life. And this may help, then I do it. This may hinder, and I stop doing it. And I look at that, my whole life kind of lives around that. What helps me lean into that space? I want more of that. What helps me trust in myself and lean out of that space? I want less of that. I want less of that around me. I want less of that engaged in my life. And I think that's, if we free people to that, rather than, I've got to do it exactly like Wayne or Brad does it. I got to do it that way. No, you don't.
No,
you got to find
the way it actually is alive and living for you.
That's why he said, I will give you my spirit and he will guide you into all truth. He didn't say, I'll give you my book. I'll give you religious leaders. I'll give you religious dogma. I'll give you doctrine. And not saying any of those things are bad.
Those can be a help. They can.
Yes, they can. And they can be a distraction.
Yes.
So you've got to, you in your life get to sort out with Jesus how this sorts out for you. And if you find some other people around you thinking in that same vein as you, like the conversations you and I have, it's incredibly stimulating to have people who are able to say to you at times, gosh, Wayne, I heard you for a little bit, and it seems like you're kind of leaning more into your own comfort space rather than the risk space. And I'll go, oh, I think you're right. I do. And so it helps to have that kind of conversation around you. Absolutely. But we're talking about something that I know drives people nuts because you can't fully define it, put it in a book or a workbook.
You can't formalize it.
Yeah.
Jesus said to the super Bible guys of the day, you search the scriptures because you think in them that you will find life. And yet these testify of me and you refuse to come to me that you might have life.
Yeah.
I go like, oh my gosh, he just described the bulk of my religious upbringing, which was let's search the scriptures because they,
if we do what they say,
they hold the keys to life.
Life. Yeah.
And so discover the keys, use the keys, and you will have life. And yet they did not put it in a relational context.
No. And the more you followed the keys, the more you resented people who weren't following the same keys you were following.
Right. They're doing it wrong.
And the more superior you felt, the more superior I felt to people who were working as hard as I was.
Especially if you could find the keys and work them.
Yeah, if you can find the keys and you can work them, especially when you're using the keys to work on me to give me what I need for my vision to be fulfilled. Then you really got the whole thing all in one big, huge Gordian knot of people who can exploit other people in the name of religion for their own gain.
Yeah, I just, in the last 4 or 5 months, I have just bumped into a number of different people who are so genuinely doing this childlike trust in Jesus thing, where they don't have the 5-year plan. They don't have all the trappings of, you know, here's our strategic overview. They're simply following the clear nudges that they're able to discern, and they're enjoying and walking out the fruit of that adventure. And with my brain, I can sometimes look at them and go like, oh, goodness. But my spirit's response is, oh, isn't it wonderful? Because they're actually engaged in a relationship with the living God, and they know it. They're not wondering. They're not aching in the dark like, gosh, I wish he would ever. No, they're actually responding to genuine nudges that are bearing fruit that is saying, yep, keep going. That's me. And it's not to say that they're never confused, and it's not to say that they're never in want. I mean, they're living on the fresh edge of dependence. But I just go like, their relationship is alive. They're leaning in and they're living in dependence, and there's life in it. Not freedom from difficulty. There's challenges.
No, always.
But they're alive.
And even
and
the most,
they know it.
And even the most challenging things, there's an inner sense of contentment that I'm not alone in this and that God's with me.
Bingo.
And God's going to get me through it. And there's not the panic of I've got to have everything arranged, that I find my comfort in the placidness of my life. But I find my comfort in the awareness of who he is, the awareness that he's with me. And so, yeah, even when I'm pushed to points of extremity, that extremity comes inside of him. And there's enough comfort there. And then eventually wisdom, not always wisdom right away, but eventually wisdom as to how to navigate through it. And sometimes take the distance you need from it. You can't resolve everything you'd like to resolve in your life today. And you don't have to feel that frustration of, God, that's still unresolved. Yeah, that's unresolved. That's part of life. Sometimes things are unresolved. So God does what he needs to do.
What got you to a place where that wasn't as frustrating as perhaps it once was? Because, I mean, what you just said there is striking me as that's a big key of being able to stay with this, is living with the unresolved that isn't all figured out. For some people, that's so terrifying, so anxiety-filled, that's why they don't do this.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's a technique to doing it.
No.
You know? Because I think, to me, I look back and say, this is the fruit of the relationship. It's not the cause of it. I didn't get there. So the relationships, God's continually won me into the space of, yeah, the unresolved thing. If I know what to do about a situation in my life or a thing that's not all that I want it to be, I can act. I do know from experience when I act before God's led me to act,
it makes a worse mess, doesn't it?
Yeah, I dig more stuff, you know. I just dig more holes for myself. So I think all what you're saying, that living with the unresolved and at peace, comes from the fact that I have tried on my own to resolve before it's time, and that's never been good. Not for me and not for the other person, or if there are other people involved.
Yeah.
Not for the situation. There's some questions I hold in my heart before God, and I know from past experience, I don't know what to do right now. And what I know from that is there's something I'm still missing.
Right.
There's a piece. There's something God's yet going to do that he
right.
hasn't done. So
right.
So to me, to go ahead and force my resolve makes no sense to
folly.
Me.
Folly.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And I think I've been one to that because I've done most of my life
yeah,
the other.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is one of those things I've actually seen in the scriptures.
Oh, one of those things?
Yeah. One of the things that people have made the biggest mistakes on is when they have forced themselves to act prior to God acting. They were waiting for God to act, and in the anxiety
and
of his not doing the thing, they went ahead and did
the thing.
The thing. And they lost everything because of it.
And it never turned out well.
No, I mean, it turned out not just not well, really bad. And I just go like, wow.
Such a, give us some of
Saul.
Things. Yeah, Saul's a good one.
Saul offering the sacrifice. And it's like, you didn't.
Samuel didn't show up.
Yeah, so I had to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Aaron.
And the people. And part of that is the people saying,
you got to.
It's not just me feeling it. It's when everybody
it's
around me
listening
says.
Listening to everybody else clamoring, you got to. Aaron.
Yeah.
And the golden calf. Yeah. I don't know. It just I threw it in there and this is what popped out.
Yeah.
You just go like, really, Aaron?
Yeah.
It just
it was
happened.
Miraculous. It was miraculous.
Yes, this is a miraculous.
We just threw
cow.
Gold in a fire.
It just
a cow walked.
Look what
right
happened.
Out. We knew it was godly.
And I look at those moments and I go like,
David taking the census. David
totally.
Yeah, David's jumping out ahead of God too, because God does not move at the pace that will make your fleshly heart happy. It just doesn't. Get used to it. Sometimes he does things blindingly quick, and you go, my gosh, I can't believe he did it that quickly. But most of the things, when he's just, hang in there, man. It's not resolved yet. It's not. There's things still cooking in this brew, and you're trying to force it before it's time.
Yeah.
It's just going to end up badly.
I think of Hezekiah.
Yeah.
when I forget who the little prophet guy is that shows up and says, you know, put your house in order. It's time to go. You're going to die. I want more time. When you look at what happened in those subsequent years, you're just going like, dude, you should have took the first train.
Took the first 15 out? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Manasseh comes out of that, and he's the worst king ever.
Plus the whole thing where he says, you're going to get invaded and all that, and your sons are going to be led astray. He's happy because it's not him.
I know. Yeah. I know. There's just something a little wrong with that. It's working out good for me. Sucks for them. No worries.
If God told me I'm going to get you out of here and your son's really going to suffer for it later, I'm like, I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, that's awesome.
That was great.
I'm glad
I
blew by that. Oh, my gosh.
So I look at that and I go like, wow. But I think the whole dynamic of being won to a place of trust, that was probably one of the most helpful things I ever heard you talk about, because it had always been exhorted to me as something I needed to do.
My job. Yeah.
And it's like it always came at the time that I had zero capacity to do that. So then I totally feel like a Nimrod and just, you know, get in condemnation and just go like, okay, that doesn't help anything. You know, it's like you're asking me to do something that in my reality meter, I can't. I want that very thing. I would love to, but I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm really actually being honest with I don't. There's reasons I don't. And I don't know how to overcome those.
Yeah.
But inviting God into that space and being in that frustrated, honest place of going, God, I don't trust you. I would like to. I don't know how to. I don't even know how to get to the place where I'm not frustrated with you, because I wanted a different outcome and I don't understand why we didn't choose my outcome. But I'm willing to actually have all of that edited but guess what? If you don't actually show up and become real, I'm not going to be able to talk myself out of this corner that I talked myself into.
Right.
I cannot be my own savior
to
this conundrum. If what we're talking about is relational trust, because I can't just trust an idea. There's nothing to that. It's trusting in a person. And unless I'm convinced that that person is for me, they love me, they're with me, that they're committed, I don't know how to not freak.
And isn't the scriptures the whole idea of God wanting to win us into that place, not us having to figure it out? And I think when we read the worst of our human conclusions from scripture, it's always God's done this, and now it's up to us to try and do the best we can and do, because we already have the truth here, so now we just have to work it. I think that what you've underlined, the idea of being won into love and won into trust, is the most important part of everything we're talking about this journey. If you're not one into love and trust, you will plan and plot and you will. You just will.
Yeah.
You won't be comfortable in unresolved situations. You won't. So how do I get one into trust? And if that's God wants to win us into it, then I think there's also, it's not like we're uninvolved in that, then I have to be one into it.
Right.
I have to let him win me.
Right.
Which means part of that for me is you've got to, and this is what to me that's at the heart of what repentance is. You've got to abandon your agenda for your life. As long as you know how you want your life to come out and how you want this circumstance to resolve itself, as long as you know, and you, God, until you do it, man, I'm going to doubt you exist.
I will be frustrated with you.
You will not be won into trust. You won't be, because you're not getting your way.
Yeah, that's our unwillingness.
That's why repentance is so key. It's not repentance. I'm so sorry. I'm such a horrible, lousy sinner. That's not repentance. Repentance is simply, I'm going to abandon my agenda for my life. I'm going to abandon what I think I should be, what I want, what I think God would
do
if he loved me. Now I provide at least the place to be won into trust. So I can say, okay, God, as you begin to, first one into love. I think love comes first. Win me into the fact that you love me, which is, I tell people all the time to pray this prayer. God, if you love me in the way this man just said you did, would you show that to me? Pray that. And don't pray it for a day or week. Pray it for a year or two.
A dozen.
Keep it before God. And then as you're learning that he loves you, then recognize where anxiety, fear, everything in your heart that says, "Ooh, I'm not trusting you here." And I still have those. I don't have a complete trust in God that fits every circumstance that confronts me. I don't.
No.
I have moments of, oh no, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. Panic, anxiety. I do.
There's fresh adventures everywhere.
But that's where I get to lay down and say, okay, God, what is it about you? I don't know. If I knew it, I'd trust you here. If Eve could have prayed that in the garden, if Eve could have said, God, I don't trust you here. I want to grab this fruit and get there myself. What is it about your love? I don't know that if I knew it. Because if Eve knew she was completely and totally loved by God, not that she totally and completely loved him. If she just knew that he completely loved her.
She wouldn't have had to.
There's not a moment of temptation, is it?
No.
There's not
no.
even a,
wow.
Well, I wonder if he'd withhold on me.
He wonderful, wouldn't. Wonderful point.
Yeah. So those are the things that God, so if you're hungry for this way of living, maybe this is where the stepping stone can really be. Let him win you into love and win you into trust.
But it really does require that repenting of your grip on what you want as the outcome.
Yeah.
And your definition of what it looks like. That I think is a huge stumbling stone for a lot of people, because I've had these conversations with so many people and they kind of nod their head like they yeah. kind of get it, they kind of get it, they kind of yeah. get it. But then when I look at over the fruit of the last, you know, year or so, I'm going like, I don't see much movement here because they're still grasping.
I have a way I want this to turn out.
Still. Yeah.
Or, and the back half of that is I've got to let go of all the ways God's disappointed my expectations previous. Because if I'm holding him to account that he didn't heal my child when I prayed and they died, or you didn't save my marriage.
Yeah, those are the relationship killers.
Yeah, when obviously you'd think you would want to save my son, you would have wanted, and it's not that God didn't want to. That's not even, the fact is.
Yeah, we don't know the answers to those.
As Job gets to, you just have more wonderful things than we can conceive. So I think bringing our limited human judgment, theme from the shack, onto God for him disappointing us is the thing that keeps us from the kind of intimacy we're talking about. So it's not just releasing the agenda for the future. It's also an element of releasing that disappointed agenda from the past. Because that's
a big deal.
I think it is. For the God of the ages who loves you deeply and yet is watching you grow up in a broken world where you get hurt and disappointed, for God to bridge that gap is huge. And I think he knows how huge it is. He does. And he's up to the challenge. He really can bring us out of our pain and disappointment and hurt and show us how loved we are and then lead us still in a broken world in which we're going to be disappointed and hurt again. But now we know we're not alone. We weren't alone the first time. We just thought we were. And we won't be alone in the future because God will be the one there. And there's nothing too big that it'll crush us when he's with us.
Yeah, I mean, I still experience disappointments and outcomes I didn't want that are painful. And you're just going like, oh, I don't like that. That doesn't help me trust people. What's different is I rarely lay those at the feet of God in an accusation as if you did this to me.
Right.
It's like I realized, no. You don't even control people like I wish you would.
Right.
And if I really understand it, I don't wish you would. I actually do prefer the fact that he is dealing honestly with who we are. And that I'm very responsible for my responding to him. I can't change a single thing in my life without his help. I'm not even in charge of my next breath and my heartbeat. He actually gives those to me. And rarely do I thank him. But I do know enough to go, okay, you're doing that. You're at work in me. I'm wanting to become a great responder to your grace without needing to control others or to control the outcome. I really do want this adventure and how you're going to guide me, but I want to become a great responder to him. And so that's something I do ask God often. It's like, help me be better led. I don't know where my resistance is. It's not all clear to me, but help me become a better responder to your grace, because if I am, I know we'll get where you're desiring me to go. And I actually believe now he has better desires for me than I have had.
Yeah. And that God's desires in our world are not so egocentric. They're not just self-centered. There's a whole purpose of God unfolding that we're part of. And I think we lose a grip on that when we're just looking at our own measured comfort and security.
I've learned that that's actually not as cool a thing as we thought it was.
That's probably a bigger conversation for another day.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.